believe the type of position we take here needs some form of authority, because you will take our refuge action, but you will not be able to take in terms of the work that we do. I hope by now members have all received copies of the report to table in Parliament and distributed to all members of Parliament. I don't think we also request that email to make the input in terms of identifying issues. I hope members can also take copies on that in our package. So I have also noted one of the issues that I would like to interact with, but I will put it in a later page, because I prefer that my members should be able to ask me that. So I will give the opportunity to come in and come to give us a speech, and then later we'll enter the
what we will do is to take you through some of the key issues that we were directed as in the request to come and speak to the committee, and then we will also talk, because in that request there are certain issues that are not necessarily addressed in this document. But my assumption is that it's a follow-up of some of the issues that were raised when we briefed the joint system of the shares of the system. I think it's one of those questions related to that process. So we will also talk about that. Now, in brief, what I received as a brief for this committee was a discussion on the school infrastructure and education outcomes, a discussion on roads and transport infrastructure, a discussion on the provincial infrastructure grant and the municipal infrastructure grant, and there was also something to do with the extended public works program. What is in the actual submission is the school infrastructure and the roads and transport infrastructure. But with respect to the provincial infrastructure grant and the municipal infrastructure grant, these were issues that were raised in the submission that was made for the 2006-07 division of government. So we can still have an engagement about that, even though some of the recommendations have already been taken on board. That, but there are still some outstanding issues that we would raise with the committee in our discussion. Now, in terms of the actual submission for the 2008-2009 division of revenue, it is made in terms of Chapter 13 of the Constitution and Chapter 9 of the Intergovernmental Cooperation Act. It comprises some observations and recommendations for the 2008 division of revenue, and it also incorporates some supplementary submissions that were made during the course of 2006-2007. The process for the FFC is that in May of every year we must submit recommendations for the division of revenue for the forthcoming fiscal year. Sometimes there are certain issues that arise that we must deal with even after we have made our submission. So we do those and then we submit to the relevant stakeholder that is requested them. An example of that is a submission that we made in respect of the re-demarcation and how the impact of the re-demarcation of provincial boundaries and municipal boundaries would have to be dealt with, because the enabling legislation for that is not yet passed, and instead of the recommendation for the division of revenue for 2006 or 2007. So that has to be dealt with outside of the normal submission process. So we made a direct submission to the Minister of Finance, and in the Division of Revenue Bill, there was a response that was given in terms of how the negative implications or negative fiscal implications for the affected provinces and municipalities would have to be dealt with. And I think that process is currently being looked at through the adjustment estimate process. So what I'm saying is, we have the submission as supplemental submission to the English document itself, but we're not going to talk about those unless there are specific questions that arise from that. And we are also not going to talk about some of the issues that we raised here that were not part of the list that we received as the areas of focus that we are focusing on. But I can tell you that some of the issues that are raised in the main submission relate to the school nutrition program.
I think in terms of
what we receive, those are the errors that we receive are indeed the errors that direct the heading on the business of protocol. So we did take that into consideration. I'm going to start with the issue around the financing of roads and transport infrastructure. The recommendations here basically emanate from some work that we did in 2006, where we made certain observations about what was happening with respect to the financing of transport and road infrastructure. Some of the key issues that were raised related to the classification of roads and therefore the implication thereof with respect to the maintenance of those roads. So one of the key issues that arises from the research that the Commission conducted is that there is a rapid deterioration of our road network, irrespective of whether you're looking at national roads, provincial roads, or municipal roads. And the key problem is that there is this lack of clarity as to who is responsible for what roads and where does it start and where does it end. Now, there is also a process whereby roads can be reclassified from provincial roads into national roads, and the funding thereof changes, and there are implications for the fiscal arrangement in terms of the division of revenue process. Now, we raised some of these issues, and we then got a response from the South African National Road Agency, which was a direct response to some of the observations that have been raised, to try and clarify certain certain issues, we then decided that we must go back and look at the current state of affairs. And what we basically picked up was that there are serious problems with road information management and management and management system at a provincial level. And so one of the recommendations that arises is that all provinces should put in place effective road management systems in order that we're able to gather accurate data on road conditions and infrastructure maintenance requirements. There is also a need for comprehensive studies that should inform the financing and funding of our road system, and the information in respect of the provinces needs to be aligned with spending priorities. Now, what this is based on is that when we try to look for information around provincial roads, for example, specifically provincial roads, because that is where the reassignment of these things, of these roads is happening, where provincial seniors can actually write to the minister and ask for certain roads to be reclassified from provincial to national roads. And one of the issues is that we don't have sufficient information as to why what would actually inform the decision of the premier to request a specific road to be transferred to the national level. There's no clear information as to what guides that process. Now, we found a few studies that the DBSA has done, and we found a few studies that in Gauteng, for example, have been done. And then at the CSIR, there's also a few studies that have been done that all try to show what the road infrastructure is like, and what the deteriorating rate of roads is, and the implications for maintenance in future, and if we don't maintain them, what actually happens as we move forward. Now, if one thinks about this kind of a problem for at the level of the provinces, we would all be aware that the current system requires that provinces spend quite a substantial amount of money on the social services, basically education, health, and welfare. Now, your economic services basically almost wouldn't say that they receive the residual of provincial citizenship. So there's no direct funding that goes directly for roads through the formula-driven division of revenue process. The idea is that provinces will prioritize at the level of the province, but the competition for financial resources between social services and economic services is so thick. And if you don't put sufficient resources on social services, it becomes immediately visible because those affect people directly. Whereas when you look at economic services, it's like almost like a secondary kind of an impact, and therefore people don't make so much noise until the problem is quite at a significant level. Now, what we are actually saying is that in reviewing the provincial equitable share formula, we need to actually consider the need for provinces to allocate resources for the maintenance, at least for maintenance of road infrastructure. What we're saying is that unless the ongoing needs of provinces in terms of road transport infrastructure are explicitly considered in the provincial equitable share review, the condition of the road will continue to worsen, and the required cost would rise exponentially. The studies basically that we looked at, especially from the CSIR, show that there is an exponential increase in the cost of maintenance if roads are deteriorating and nothing is actually put into them. the road network in South Africa is quite poor. And with the pressure that we experienced between 2000 and 2005, when we ultimately removed social security grants from the provincial responsibility, meant that there was a significant squeeze on resources allocated for roads, and the deterioration therefore of roads actually increased quite rapidly in the special provinces. Now, so basically what we are saying here is that and the Financial and Fiscal Commission is playing the leading role in this review of the provincial education formula, is that we need to consider how the road component can actually be incorporated into the education formula, because what we have right now, we have the road component probably being looked at as part and parcel of the basic services component, which is weighted at I think it's about 7%, and an economic activity component, which is weighted at 1%. Okay. So in total, it's like 8%. You would be looking at roads and other economic functions. 8% of the total share for the law, you look at it, like probably about 70-80% of the social services. So there's very little available for roads. Even when we say that, as we say that, we then must also take into consideration issues around the provincial infrastructure grant. The provincial infrastructure grant is allocated to in a component basis. There is an allocation that is meant for roads, but there's education again there, and there's health. And obviously, in terms of prioritization, you might find that the prioritization is such that social services could get a bigger chunk of that allocation from the provincial infrastructure, and therefore roads are not really considered in a very direct way with respect to provincial allocation. Now, let me come to the issue of the financing of school infrastructure and education outcomes. Now, the school infrastructure project from the FFC side arises from the fact that in 2004 and beginning 2005-2006, there was a slight review of the provincial equitable share formula, which removed a component which was called the backlog component of the equitable share, and replaced it with a poverty component. That was the result of the shifting of the social security function, social security grant function, to the social security agency, which is basically now the national function. And what happened there was that when one removed social security grants from the total provincial equitable share formula, it threw the whole allocation into disarray. So for poor provinces, for example, where you have the most number of dependent on social security grants, it would appear that they lost quite a significant amount of money. But when you think about it in a very straightforward way, those are simply transfers. They were not really the province money, because it was just money that the province would receive and then forward to the individual beneficiaries. But when it appears, when you look at the pool, and you look at the amount of money that was available, it became very clear that there were quite significant losses in terms of resources for the poorer provinces. So something has to be done to try and re-strengthen the redistributive power of that formula, and therefore that poverty component was introduced into the formula. Now, at the same time, the infrastructure grant or program to the PIG will take their put in terms of the amount of money that went into it. now, that to try and probably to deal with the with infrastructure backlog. Now, so the issue here becomes one of equitable access to your basic social services. And from the FFC side, the recommendation has been that this infrastructure grant for provinces be allocated using a formula that takes into account the backlog in each province. So we actually developed a model which requires certain amount of data. And because we have a serious problem when it comes to data, especially on infrastructure, we then use in that model, we use very aggregated infrastructure data for South Africa to try and allocate backlog to provinces, to identify what the extent of backlog in different provinces was. When we presented that to government, the decision was that the aggregate nature with which the data was being used in that model was not very helpful, because provinces don't provide all of South Africa's infrastructure. They've got specific functions assigned to them. So the infrastructure that they must deal with is infrastructure that deals with those functions. So that makes it quite a problematic exercise to allocate resources within that kind of infrastructure, because you just don't have the data. Or where you have not collected in a very uniform pattern across the country. So you can go to the reserve bank, they've got different types of methods of doing it. You go to the department, they've got different types of methods of doing it. And we don't have any definitions on what we call a standard infrastructure that everybody should have. We don't have those kind of definitions or norms and standards in this way. So it became quite a complicated exercise. Now, what the Commission decided to do was to look at what the impact of infrastructure backlog would be on the delivery and access to basic services by previously disadvantaged communities. What we then did was to say, let's carry out this study. It's basically a study that deals with education outcomes, health outcomes, and social welfare outcomes. So it's dealing with social services primarily. Now, this result, which relates to education, is the first set of results that are coming out. For this coming year, currently we're actually working on the health outcomes. So next year we'll be dealing with, we'll be making some recommendations with respect to the health function. Now, here, what we found is that education outcome, if you look at international literature and international evidence, what it shows is that infrastructure does have a role to play. But most of the studies that we picked up basically report only on those areas where infrastructure indeed does have a role to play. So it's not like a general thing that infrastructure, one cannot generalize that infrastructure and what type of infrastructure would actually have an impact on educational outcome. So the study, when you actually do a quantitative assessment of the relationship between school infrastructure in general and education outcome, the impact is not very big. But if you try to reduce it to different types of infrastructure and complement for that infrastructure, you then find there's a certain significance that begins to appear. Now, what you're then saying is that the infrastructure grant for provinces should support infrastructure development in areas that have got the most need and where it is most likely to improve learner performance and school outcomes. In other words, it's not just building schools for its own sake. When you build schools, we need to think about what else is needed in a school and is it available in the first place. So you don't just build a school where there are no roads, for example, because there will be a problem with access to those schools. You don't just build a school where there are no bridges, because when it rains, then kids don't go to school. You don't build a school where there's no electricity, because in future, when you be able, the government has got all these plans to roll out ICT to schools and all those things, because there is another thing that does actually improve school performance. And if you have no plans to put electricity there, so there's no point in actually putting up the school, because the school is just going to be an isolated infrastructure. So what we're basically saying here is that the infrastructure plan for provinces must not be looked at in isolation with other funds that actually go towards infrastructure or towards supporting infrastructure for the school. We need to be, we need to try to coordinate the rollout of the school infrastructure if we have to improve the education. Now let me move on to the issues around the municipal infrastructure plan and the local government equivalent. And the local government equivalent here for me. Now the problem here, and I would say that this is not actually addressed in this year's submission. It was in last year's submission. We have been having discussions because there is ongoing work around this. This is happening in the broader context of the review of the local government fiscal framework. One thing that I must say up front here is that there is a problem with municipalities. And some of the problems are basically a result of a lack of disjunction between different pieces of legislation and the local government is concerned. Now, a lot of municipalities must implement different pieces of, I think at the moment, for the rollout of the Municipal Finance Management Act, there's a rollout of the Property Rights Act. Very soon to be a rollout of the local government fiscal powers and functions. So there's a lot of issues of legislation that municipalities are dealing with. We sometimes say it's almost like legislative fatigue. And most of these things have been developed in isolation. There's no direct relationship. And now, when we think about the financial resources that go to municipalities, there is financial resources in the form of own revenue, there is resources in the form of the local government that people can share, and then there is grants, like the municipal infrastructure grant. I think here, what is important basically is how the local government that people can share and the municipal infrastructure grant relate to each other, and therefore how they then impact on the delivery of basic services and municipalities. I think as we all know, the municipal infrastructure grant is to assist municipalities to roll out basic services infrastructure primarily. And then the local government, the principal share, is for operation and delivery of those basic services. So now when you have no infrastructure, basic services cannot be delivered. And therefore, the money that you transfer to the municipality in the form of the local government to pick up the share, if there's no infrastructure, will be used for something else. Where you roll out infrastructure and nothing happens to the pick up the share, and there is very little on revenue raising capacity, the infrastructure is unlikely to be maintained because as you roll it out, then there's pressure on your equitable share because you must now spend on operating and maintaining the infrastructure. So there will be pressure on your equitable share, and therefore if nothing happens and you don't have an own revenue base, because the expectation is that as you roll out this infrastructure, then people must be able to pay. But where there's suppressed economic activity, it's unlikely that people will be able to pay, and therefore something must happen on the equitable share side, which will enable the municipality to maintain that infrastructure. Because if you don't maintain it, it's a rate and the backlogs accumulate. So you've got you promote as a moving target, basically. So what you're trying to eliminate is become a building in the form of maintenance backlog. And that becomes a problem. Now, what we've been thinking is that there are basically three options. The first option is actually to maintain the status quo and try to encourage people to set aside money for maintenance as they roll out the infrastructure until all the outstanding issues relating to the review of the local government is addressed. In this particular case, that would relate to the review of the local government of Peter Boucher formula. I'm not sure
how possible
to review the local government.
For them to find when time has a shift on the
what you mean is how possible is for municipalities to do that?
Okay, but municipalities should rather spend on maintenance of infrastructure.
Yes.
Now, I think the issue is the privatization is the social thing. In this case, which part would they use? Would they use the RDGs or the social infrastructure?
My opinion is that the local government, the Peter Boucher formula must rise. When you roll out your infrastructure, your local government, the Peter Boucher must rise. So your allocation in the Peter Boucher must rise so that you are able to specify some money for that. It's not actually happening, and I think that is the key problem that I'm going to try to address here. So that's the key problem that I'm going to try and address. So I'm saying, if we leave it like this, what happens, let me just give you a quick description of what the formula currently looks like. The formula for the local government, the Peter Boucher, has got a basic services component, which basically is based on the number of poor people in the municipality. It also has an institutional component that's basically meant to account for governance, including the salaries of councillors and that. And then it's got a revenue raising component, which basically tries and compensate. So if you have a very high revenue raising capacity, you will receive relatively less from the people to share than those municipalities that have got a relatively low revenue raising capacity. So and then there's a development component, which is at the moment set at zero. It's set at zero because there has been no agreement basically among the key stakeholders in that process, that basically the national service, government of provincial and local government and South, where the FFC plays a role there. And there's no agreement on what should constitute that development component. How should it actually be measured? So there's some work that is currently taking place around that. And one thing about it is a development component, like being a component that tries to assist municipalities to promote development in municipalities to promote development in its locality or in its jurisdiction. What you would then expect is that allocation should be used to provide your basic infrastructure. And what then happens to your municipal infrastructure plan? Should it respond to that, or should it be something else? Because you don't want to be duplicating things, and if you duplicate things, it's complicated because too many things are trying to address the same thing. So that's the current discussion that is there. Now, so the first option is to say, let's resolve this issue around the local government and Peter Boucher formula and hope that municipalities will be able to maintain it. stay in the group for certain time, resources for that. They are certain incentives. Yeah, your question is answered this way. What are the incentives for a municipality to do that? There's probably no incentive because the local equitable share is what the municipality has control over. So they don't have control over grants, they've got control over their own revenue and over the local equitable share. Where a municipality has no own revenue or significant own revenue sources, it then has only control on the local equitable share. And once you start putting money aside, you must be cutting somewhere. And that's not a very attractive option for the local. No. The second option is to scale the local government equitable share allocation based on access to and here what we would be doing, and this is what is currently happening since 2000. What we're doing here is to say, let's look at the characteristics of this municipality. What is the level of basic services infrastructure, and therefore, what is the access to basic services for the population in this municipality? Now, if, let's say, 90% of the people have access, so you are actually doing quite fine. We go to your basic services component and scale the allocation by an amount. So the allocation is based on a figure which is an assumed cost for the delivery of basic, of the basic services. So those basic services are water, electricity, refuse, it's and environmental, what we call non-municipal health services. So you got that. It's actually at the moment at 130 rand. And so what you do is you multiply that 130 rand by the people that would actually be receiving those services. Now, scaling here would mean that instead of giving each municipality, multiplying each person in a municipality who qualifies for these basic services by the 130, you would, where there are fewer people that have access, which basically implies that you don't have the infrastructure. You use a lower figure. At the moment, I think it's 45 rand for those municipalities where, and then the bulk of the transfer comes in the form of the municipal infrastructure plan. So that as you roll out your infrastructure and as access to these basic services increases, you then scale upwards the amount. The problem with that is that the two grants are allocated using formulas. So there's a formula for the local government equitable share and there's a formula for the municipal infrastructure fund. And those two formulas are not linked. So there's nothing that automatically triggers the other, so that as you roll out this, that one automatically increases. You have to depend on a human being, which is whether it's at the national cellular or it's at the PLD, to actually be alert to that kind of a process that this is what is happening. And so, you know what, if you're using a formula based approach, you would like as little human interference as possible in order that you maintain certain degree of objectivity. Now what we suggested was to try and find a way of linking that. And the response from government was that no, it will complicate this formula. It's too complicated because the formula must be simple. One of the key traits of the formula is that it should be simple enough for everybody to understand how it actually works, so that nobody comes back and says, no, we have been cheated because this thing is too complicated. There's a lot of technical discussions that are currently taking place on how we can actually try and link that. That's the issue. Now the third option is to develop a completely different mechanism to address the backlog. Now obviously the history of this municipal infrastructure grant comes from your consolidated municipal infrastructure grant, which was called CIMIC, and then you had all these other grants that were lying in different departments like DWARF, DME, and all of them had different grants that they were throwing at municipalities and municipalities, and in certain instances were choking under these grants because they were not linked to what municipalities wanted to do, they were linked to what the national department wants to do. And so those programs, so what happened, I think the problem that happened was that once the recommendation to consolidate this into one municipal infrastructure grant and allocate it through the formula, once that was made, I think people just sat back and thought that the formula was actually working itself out and deal with the problems that the project-based approaches that departments were applying would then be addressed by formula. And unfortunately, that has not turned out to be the case. Now, I did indicate when I was talking about the infrastructure on education that you need to have certain linkages between different types of infrastructure so that you improve your outcomes, because schools alone, without some of these kind of basic infrastructure coming from local government, not going to actually help in terms of improving outcomes. So this third option is one that says, is it possible that we can take a very completely different approach to what we currently have and say there are those municipalities whose backlog are not really in, they are not really in the backlog in terms of new infrastructure. They are backlogs in terms of maintenance. They would be your metro, for example, Johannesburg. There's been quite a number of potentially shocking studies with results that suggest that if nothing is done with Johannesburg infrastructure, is a reality. And we have seen in certain instances where, you know, electricity infrastructure in the land, in the weather, water, you have this thing where nobody knows where this infrastructure is. It's underground somewhere, but nobody knows where all those things are. And they are deteriorating quite fast, and so it's a problem. Now, to treat that kind of a problem with a problem of some municipality in deep rural areas and where there's never been any infrastructure, treated the same, is probably not the right way to do it. Now, this is basically founded on some recommendation of the FFC that was made, I think, in 2002 about taking a differentiated approach or asymmetric approach in this way, based on capacity assumptions around municipality. I mean, there's quite a lot of areas where this is now being applied in the local government sphere. For example, on following, you know, banks have decided to adopt a kind of an approach for different types of municipalities based on the capacity. Now, these kinds of issues can actually be dealt with by taking that kind of approach. So where you have municipalities that have the capacity, you don't have to have the kind of conditions that are attached to the municipal infrastructure plan. So I'm supposed to understand to use its need only on certain aspects. They can use it for anything just because they've got quite a big on revenue base. And all you need is
the end of the year.
That's the other thing, it will be passed over to the consumer. I think the point is, to what extent can consumers actually take that? Because one would assume that if you, the benefits of decentralizing to this local level is that the citizens themselves will take control of some of these decisions. So if you understand what the world, it shouldn't be interactive with Johannesburg as a rate payer, it shouldn't be a difficult has been selecting national government, for example, or the state. It's very different thing, because you get the direct benefits from this thing, so you can actually, whereas as a taxpayer, it's a national level, nobody knows where your tax is going.
Oh, actually, you too.
Okay, now what the commission's current position is, and I'm saying here the Equities Commission, not mine, is that we should go beyond funding through the municipal infrastructure grant. We should go beyond funding basic residential infrastructure or public municipal infrastructure. But for long-term sustainability of new infrastructure, we must actually find a way of dealing with the operational and maintenance cost of the infrastructure. The argument from the other side here, the government, basically the national treasury, is that operation and maintenance must be funded through infrastructure. So the question that comes back is, to what extent is the equitable share sufficient to enable the municipalities to be able to maintain this kind of infrastructure? Now, I mentioned that the current local government equitable share formula has got a basic services component, which takes into account four basic services. Now, if we go back to the recommendations of the Commission in 2002, we identified something like eight basic municipal services and suggested that in terms of making the allocation must be based on those eight rather than four. Because what happens is that in the vertical division of revenue, that's where you actually interface with the pool that is available in funds. So if you take only four, the discussions are limited to those four. So you are excluding stormwater drainage, for example, firefighting, and all those things, of course, they are all infrastructure. And so if they are excluded in those discussions around the vertical division, they don't make their way, because once the vertical division is decided, the formula is then applied on a fixed pool. And whatever you do around that, you're just moving from one component to the other. You're not doing anything in terms of the amount of that is available for addressing this problem. And so that is where the problem lies. From the FFC side, the issue is that we actually need to revisit that discussion and see what we actually need. Now, the recommendation is that there should be an explicit link between the municipal infrastructure grant and the basic services program. Now, we are trying to look at the moment that we are experiencing a bit of capacity problem, so we've actually shelved this project because we were supposed to be coming out with some initial results. On what the actual cost of basic services, if we were to look at all the aid that we've identified, what the actual cost is, and therefore that number is still an elusive issue. We're just experiencing some capacity problems in the commission, and so the process has been shelved for the time being. But here, basically, what we're trying to explain here is that There is no use to give a municipality this much money through the equitable share if it does not have the infrastructure to provide the basic services. And it is no use to give a municipality this much in the form of infrastructure rollout, so they roll out this infrastructure access very quickly, but you do nothing about the operation side, the maintenance side, because all you do is you are chasing this problem. You are not going to deal with it. So, where
are they? The example of the argument might tell that you segregate between those who are and what changes to the
conversation? What's the fact now? my personal view would still be that if we have to make a difference, we have to get it right from the technical specification. We can't choose the one separate from the other. And the problem, the major issue here is that this is the major problem for those municipalities that actually don't have regulation capacity, and those are the marginalized people that live in those municipalities. And also some of these dying towns. You go to like little towns like no post of the world, no way, you know, because so the library decided to close down, especially here, and then the whole town has collapsed. There's nothing else that happens there. So those are real issues that must be confronted. What I'm saying really is that the lack of maintenance and operating budget could have long-term negative effects and will compound structure if we don't actually address it. So the issue really is to link, to find the link between the municipal infrastructure and the local government. These are the transfers that I can try to optimize. I'm going to stop here and ask them to take you through some of the key issues coming up from the work on the World Cup. What I can say is that the work on the World Cup is done in the context that there is no extra money that will be made available to deal with the World Cup outside of the normal budget process for both provinces and municipalities, except for those areas where government made certain commitments to FIFA. So it's in the area of making sure that you have sufficient stadiums, making sure that you've got sufficient infrastructure linking the stadiums to the people that will attend the World Cup. And that money is being set aside, is being spent at the level of the local government. For provinces, we basically working on the assumption that during the budget process, the different sectors basically make those judgment calls in making their budget during the budget process. And so it's part and parcel of the MCF, that MCF is talking about the one that started 2007 to 2010, 2011. So those are not issues that we raise here. We raise issues around the impact and implications of
the negative
impact that we should have to report. The good and positive impact we got. But it's trying to relate the hosting of the World Cup and its impact on the resources that are available for the division of presence. But because we now know what the MCF looks like, what we're dealing with now are marginal changes that we might not have foreseen or that are unavoidable. So that's the context. And then I think then we'll also talk a bit about some of the work that we're doing around the provincial budget. And I think there's a little bit of story that comes around the extended public work program. I must say up front that we really have not done any work on the extended public work program, because the way we look at it is a program within different departments, and so we deal with it in a different process of the FSC's web. We've got a process where we deal with the budget, program budget analysis process. So when the budget is tabled in February, we produce a report that basically deals with the issue. So that's when we actually deal with the extended public health program policy prioritization, oversight team, understanding, followed by character and economy development, or vice versa. This is especially true of such teams for infrastructure and field training, which are already established by GISA and JESTA. And particular examples include advocacy, education training, further education training, CD, welfare, home support, and road construction. Our second recommendation relates to policy parameters and indicated by our strategic growth of budget. To ensure alignment between policy objectives and budget, the training identified priority areas should grow by higher than average growth rate. For example, in accordance with FIFA and JISTA, both provinces have prioritized infrastructure and food training. Education includes food education training, adult education training, and traditional grants for health professional training. Thirdly, regarding engagement of best practice project planning. The further institutionalization of best practice project planning and budgeting methods, which differs from implementation and alignment to the fiscal year, should be encouraged. The rationale here is that undertaking goals by set of adjustments, basic workflow, and interview fiscal dumping is more pronounced in different spheres of government. Different spheres or departments are responsible for budgeting and delivery. Three years of testing the technical strategy of provinces in order to understand the structure of technical spending. Our fourth recommendation relates to reporting on service delivery outcomes. Every departmental service delivery program is defined and reported in the provincial budget and expenditure review. And this should be according to actually targeted beneficiaries, personnel numbers, and occupational group levels, current items, and capital activities in service delivery. Provincial departments should report on the non-financial indicators on behalf of their service delivery team. The rationale here is that this non-financial is required to enable an assessment of progressive realization, efficiency and effectiveness. The first recommendation relates to measuring socio-economic impact, and we recommend as a methodology to greater socio-economic impact of government planning programs. Current spending should be standardized across government sponsors and programs. The rationale here is that these measures of impact have pointed to the expanded public works program and should require reporting on employment generation of the reduction in distribution of income and loss and contribution to economic growth.
that we have to really focus on another infrastructure, then go to more possibilities. But then the question is a personal answer that the Department of Public Works is coming up with a strategy which is known as NIMS, National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy. And then I think the minister said that to maintain infrastructure of the country, we need around 100 billion next year. And the following year, 100 billion, the other year, 100 billion. So to let the commission see themselves supporting the minister on that line, well, because it is nice to speak about doing it, but to put it in front of something like that. So are they really going to take this department along, support it all the way? And because if we don't do that, then we'll be doing it to the future generation of the country. I'll stop there.
On page 15, you make mention of the fiscal dumping made by some departments, especially public works, because public works is the only department that is taking care of the contractors. And if it is a problem, I would like to know what would you suggest, because it looks like whenever the department, like the process itself, they see that so it's towards the end of the financial year, and they had plans, but they didn't communicate directly with the public works themselves. And another question is on the CIC or the municipal MIG infrastructure grant that is provided by the national government to the municipalities. In some cases, it becomes a problem, the monetary scheme of the grant. Because now that it's done by national, there is no proper monitoring. At the end of the day, we find that the municipalities, they don't support anybody. I mean, when this oversight is one of the problems, especially the MEC for local government, provincial local government, but they say hands off, you don't have a say as the MEC, because this is from national, it has nothing to do with it. I think that's also a problem. And you talk about the ECWP, and then it falls under this 2010 World Cup. And I think ECWP, the main aim or objective is to create jobs, alleviate poverty, and move the people from the second to the third economy. And on the look of things, these companies are saying hands off. Our project, and you are saying these are government funded projects. What is it that we can do to make sure that these the small companies, small contractors are moved from the community to the third corner? I mean, we want to have our own that we in future can build our own stadium. They are on level 9 with CIDP, but we still have a problem of moving these things from second economy to the third economy.
I would want to have the presenter to bear with me if I ask. You know, I don't remember in this province I found something very interesting that would have helped us even in terms of some legislation in part. How perhaps you deal with those legislation. I also think that even in the previous legislation, it has been good to have invited at first thing to check how the previous legislation, you know, is in line with some directions given by FSC. But then I've got two questions to ask. You say there's no guidance so far as declaration, declaring, I mean, how the provinces declare a road from province to nation. Now, isn't that a huge problem? Because at the end, there will be an assumption that this road is national, right after the province, and actually, the responsibility of maintenance on that road, you know. Then there's a grey area around who must maintain that road. And given what we have said earlier, that the social service budget become a priority in the province, and the infrastructure ones tend to suffer because they take a long time to be realized until the issue is made. I did not hear you what your recommendations are in actually dealing with that particular problem, because as long as there are no guidance, it means it will be a possible to have some kind of an arrangement. Because if we do not put a clear line of how these things are done and where responsibility, we actually, people are going to get away with accountability here. And I think that you need to throw in very strong recommendations around those issues. The second one, which you did not mention perhaps, is the property management. As public works to deal with property and management, we recently passed a deal with a Giyama, but even before the Giyama, that again, during our public hearings, we actually see some of the things. We know some of the buildings who 8 years ago were the best buildings in this country. And today, if you go into those buildings, your life is in danger. And I think in your oversight around that, I did not hear you mentioning that. That did not even need a legislation. But I think in terms of your responsibility, because it's got to do with infrastructure, and quite most of it being very, look at South African hospitals, you know, and big infrastructures, and that is dilapidating because of the maintenance program and operational costs that are not, we're not even looking at in terms of the budget. And that has been an outcry in our country that we are good at improving capital costs, but when it comes into operational and maintenance costs, we forget about that. You are saying that some of those infrastructure now are falling apart. The other issue you mentioned is the impact of school infrastructure. You said there is not the impact, there's no big impact in as far as when you put the school infrastructure that you make, that is an impact in those communities. I don't really understand that, you know, because I would think that I know that you said you need to put roads and electricity, but let's look in the Eastern Cape where there are mass schools. If you put up a school, at times, I know roads are needed there, but if you put up a school in the red area now, even if there are no roads, because most of the people who benefit have are people in the surrounding football, I would think that there should be a big difference, because at the moment those mass schools, you know, are falling apart, you know, the conditions of weather conditions are not conducive and children are not going to school. Given the fact that if you look at the primary school, there's a city scheme there, there's maybe health, you know, facilities there, and that community seems to benefit in terms of poverty alleviation as well, just by putting up the road, the department is going to be collecting all the resources. So I wouldn't think in that way. Perhaps in the urban areas, yes, but I think in the rural areas, it should be quite representing itself with a huge impact, even though it's necessary to have electricity, to have everything else. But I think, I mean, even the building on its own should actually make all those and make a difference.
Thank you very much. Thank you again for that. From the page 8 of the municipal infrastructure ground, there is the MID fund. It's needed to be set aside for the maintaining and operating infrastructure project. But we are true to the, our complaint that the report says we are oversight for the some problems. It's the MID is for the so-called big problem. They complain they haven't got a little funding, but they already have the operating project. So they can't operate in for the energy in the infrastructure. You're sort of waiting for MID coming. But you from your presentation, your MID fund is you put aside for the priority for the maintenance and this operating project. So I want to know what happened for this this issue. Because it's from provincial side, they can't control it because this funding doesn't come from the nation. So this is my question. And the second one is for the FIFA. For the your page 11 is a major challenge facing the government is ability for building infrastructure. So we say it's, for instance for the Green Point. This one is a striking the track. So I don't know if this one can on time to finish this stadium or not. Then this additional cost, for your calculation, how much will the additional cost change to the, our budget?
So, Mr. Chair, if I understand the presentation correctly, it seems as if we have serious financial challenges before. And the fact that we haven't got figures to just check what will be the financial implications for provinces, for municipalities, etc. And I mean, our role as the Department of Public Works, we are just waiting for the contributions to the municipality, contributions to provinces, and then we come in if they ask us as a department to get involved in the development of infrastructure, etc. So, the implementation dates for these proposals, can we have an idea on how far we are?
Thank you very much. Is there any other member? Thank you for your question. Well, I'm not covered by the performance. I mean, my colleague will be on the provincial as well as the district code. But I would want to specifically concentrate on the access road. You find out if the access roads are being built and after that they are being better because there is no maintenance. I think the Department of Government should put that particularly in the paper. In cases, and there is a separate budget for our skills with extra growth, where Bangladesh is almost every day. A lot of women are being employed as a Bangladesh, they are dealing with the extra growth. If the whole country can cope with that, I think that would be a very good idea. Because most of the access roads, they go to private schools, rural schools. But that the rural schools are, in most cases, you find that there is no road going to that. That means that the department cannot proceed, including the Department of Transport, they must work hand in hand. Is that the access roads are being built as good as possible so that it's crucial as well in the future who have got cars to not be bothered.
Thank
you. Thank you very much. What do you think? I thought about the energy. I think for the years from that we all know that energy is not going to. Therefore, if you say that we're going to use conditional grants for operation, I think that the law will not be implemented. So what the commission wants to say by not saying is the whole increase of the local contribution. And how you do it is a debate that must have that how to do that. I think that's what people say of political grants must use operations like maintenance. I think will be transferring what is the responsibility of local government to national. Because national cannot be dealing with operations of each and every municipality. I think we need to be very clear about that, because it creates a confusion. And it also creates this unharmonized environment between provincial and local authorities over who's got authority in terms of what kind of program needs to be implemented. And I think that issue will be dealt with at a time we have one certain function where electoral transfer were trying to integrate what the local government is doing in sync with provincial and national government. I think that's exactly. So in terms of the recommendations, we cannot say that it's a formal agreement. We will look at option three, perhaps at one option that we have to keep. That was the second issue. It's the whole question of the issue that has been raised. I'm now looking at EPWP issue, and that other topic was, if you look at the executive summary, it suggests that 2010 is going to have a negative effect, and it's got negative legal effect on the trade balance and the current account. But it does not therefore suggest as to how then do we do this. And now, if you look at what you just presented now, you speak to the interest of GIFSA and AFGIFSA, the problems that are initiated, policy initiatives, in terms of financial implications. But what we deal with the monster here that we never created, we deal with skill shortage in the country. How then do you address that if you don't have to take certain policies? That means change your budgeting. Because it cannot say the normal budgeting process through MCA by factor, we have to have measures. As you put, and it's a very complex matter in itself. I think we need to fix that issue. It also goes to an extent that they might be project delays due to different reasons that are being given. So we have to discuss what we mean in that. But I'm more concerned with the legacy issue. That is not the issue, that's all. Because we are giving us still only time, which we will have to look at and see how then to do this. But what I know is that in terms of the budget deficit, the country will not be able to go over 50% budget deficit like the law requires. So are you suggesting to us that with the legal effect and the negative effect that the possibility that will go through the normal 10% budget deficit? Because that's a very you cannot have a stable growth path in a country like South Africa where you are dealing with unemployment that is so high. And a level of things. We will have to have this method that we have in place, which is the short-term project that government has initiated to try and address the food base in the country. Yeah, but I also need you to expatiate more on the national agents that we deal with in the country. So if you can fix those issues and those political developments that are raised here, will be able to that will affect that in the future. I will not speak to the issue of the nutrition, but I will want you to take an example with what Honorable Obama has said about who's responsible for national revenue. Because we tell the entire African country to the provincial government. You know, I say in an area where those who know people, they know, right? I say in an area that called a road that goes to Federal, you know. That road comes from the N1 and two centers. Now, where we say we need a robot or the local people to capture the local. There happens every weekend accidents where motorists see each other all the time. And when we try to get a robot, we first have to talk about our terrain. And the provincial government is not our terrain. And the commission itself needs to investigate on such challenge where you don't have a clear land function below which a particular. I think we'll also need to look at what impact does it have on operations. Without necessarily going back to the point I made on the flip side of what you said about development,
the maintenance and operation between rural areas and urban areas is different. We have an area where there's basically no basic infrastructure. And we can't say it because El Khadija Pani is the major project. We have to look at maintenance on El Khadija Pani and set aside the basic needs of all infrastructure on rural areas. And I hear the green taxes and I have to look at the flip side of it. It's where you never actually have development. And it's forever having people actually flow into the cities, try and never get alive. And it's actually create constraints on the same infrastructure in the areas that work like this. I think let's speak to us and having it. Thank you very much for your opportunity.
Okay. Let me see what I can respond to and what Mr. Kelsey was going to, and then if we haven't picked up in some of them, we will remind us another to share, and where we can't actually give you an answer, we will say so. The first one relates to the initiated from public works around maintenance, where we're talking figures of around about 121 billion rand in the first year, and I can tell you that these numbers are numbers that this is a number from Department of Public Works. Last year, at the budget council, we had somebody coming from the Department of Health talking about the maintenance backlog on the roads alone. I think we were talking about something like 350 billion rand over the next 5 years if we had to move the road network into a standard that would be at the standard of roads in our state, because that's the highest standard of roads is basically supposed to be there. If we have to move all the country's roads to that standard, then we need about that much money. So obviously, these are numbers that one must actually think about. I think the key issue is we need to quantify this sector by sector. And I must say that at the FFC at the moment, there is a very big project that we are doing together with the assistance of the University of Cape Town School of Economics. They have another team of people from all over the world that they've put together, where we basically trying to look at this specification of backlogs. It's a very big piece issue. There are backlogs that are as a result of legacy. There are backlogs like these that are a result of lack of maintenance of existing infrastructure. Now, if you have to deal with these things, what do you prioritize? These are questions that must still be addressed. We are hoping that that project will basically come out with certain initial results, probably sometime in May. Next year, we should have some initial results that will basically provide some guidance. So the long and short of it is, will the Commission support this kind of initiative? The long and short is, I believe the Commission will support this kind of initiative because it is already in that process. I must say that one problem that we have is we actually called the government departments that have this kind of infrastructure problem. We did not get anybody from the Department of Public Works, and I think primarily it's because we have never in the FFC really worked directly with the Department of Public Works. So we end up getting information. So now I must move on to another question that talks about fiscal dumping on the Department of Public Works. We have this problem that we get where when you talk to departments, they will tell you that our major problem with respect to infrastructure is the Department of Public Works. So the Department of Public Works is actually blamed for not doing this or for not doing this at the right time or for not doing it. So we have never actually interacted directly with the Department of Public Works. And so it becomes an important step for me, at least to be able to contact the Commission and say there are more serious issues that we must look at beyond the issues that we get from the federal department that actually depend the giant of the Department of Public Works. If I go to the Commission of Public Affairs, I'm talking about the question that spoke about dumping, people dumping on public work when we get to matters, we call it a match fight at the end of the day. Those departments are required in the Division of Revenue Act to sign agreements with the Department of Public Works in terms of who is actually going to deliver infrastructure. Now, if you go to the properties and you look at what they do, they use different types of people to do that, because they think public works does not have the capacity to do this. Now, when those different types of people don't deliver, then you find that money gets shifted now to public works. And so the problem continues like that. Now, I don't know whether that is it's a financial issue, which is where the FSC would ideally be fitting in. Or it's really an issue of applying the law in a way when it's not being adhered to. Because if we say that you must, if the law says that you must have an agreement with public works on this, how this money is going to be spent, that money on the infrastructure grant promises, for example. So that agreement has to be there with public works. And if it's not there, if with somebody else, IDC or somebody else and some of these agencies that some of these projects will do, then certain questions that should be asked in relation to what the law says and what the Division of Revenue Act says and what the practice is. The FOC basically that's the rain that is not going to give the Commission's mandate. We can raise an issue that this is not happening in such and such a province or in such and such a department. In terms of, we can raise those, and we do raise those when we deal with infrastructure issues through the telecommunication funding. So those things should get right. But I really agree that the implementation level. If the money, so the FFC, the primary interest is, has the money been allocated to the partition to address the problem that has been identified, or it's been allocated in a suitable manner to comply with certain provisions of the Constitution. And that's the most important part. And after that, but I think the Minister of Finance has raised this thing quite sharply. I know that at some point the FSC was requested to actually look at how much money actually gets transferred between February and 31st of March from the department, and that gets down to quite short of the money. So there is a problem. With respect to the municipal infrastructure grant and monitoring and reporting on the municipal infrastructure grant, I think the history of local government finances has been such that some of these things have not been happening. I think one of the statements that I made at the beginning of my presentation was that with respect to local government issues was that there's a lot of pieces of legislation that were passed independently. These things are happening in a vacuum. When we have, we propose to have a fiscal framework within which all these things happen. Now, ideally, the Municipal Finance Management Act and its implementation should understand this landscape, should address this issue where municipalities don't actually support it, because the Municipal Finance Management Act should set a requirement on reporting and on how that reporting happens. We know, for example, that certain pieces of legislation make municipalities to report directly to the Minister of Provincial and Local Government. Certain pieces of legislation make it on a financial, if it's a financial matter, where does the Minister of Finance come in out? We work more closely with the finance ministry than the rest of them, because it's a certain of finances, and that is where the FFC lies. So it's those kinds of problems that we do pick up in terms of the institutional, you know, arrangement, how the institution interface. So I think the implementation of the Municipal Finance Management Act has clarified certain of these where issues of finance management are important. And at the National Treasury, I know for certain that there has been established, on the one side there is the Chief Directorate that deals with the implementation of the Municipal Finance Management Act, capacitating municipalities around that. And then there is a chief directorate that has been established, which will be dealing with municipal finance issues, basically reporting and all these things, setting up this team set up, and these things that have been raised with respect to reporting on me, for example, are actually things that currently the issues are happening, and so we're beginning to get the information that we ideally would require. But we were not getting. But now I think that it's beginning to happen, and as a result of the rolling out of the Municipal Finance Management Act. With respect to the issue around road classification and who is responsible for what and who passes the bus and all the gray areas. In my presentation, I did mention that we have been meeting with the South African National Road Agency, and I say that the good thing about it is that we've been meeting directly with the Chief Executive Officer of the agency, and it seems to us that the most important thing that is probably putting this whole thing backwards, because the reclassification process is supposed to be happening. But the information that is required from provinces is not there. There is a piece of legislation which deals with transfer, how you transfer a road from a province to a national government. A broad thing, which basically talks about, you know, what is the carrying capacity and how much it is to actually transport and all those kinds of things. They are neither here nor there. There's no system of how to be capturing that so that you can actually do so. For me, it seems like it's really the power of the MDC for transport or the premier to sit together and write a consistent letter to the National Minister and process. If you don't have that power, you might not be able to do that. And one surprise that I actually picked up, because I'm actually busy this review of provincial equipment shape on the end. As I say, it's one of the key issues, this road thing is one of the key issues that we want to address through that process. Now, I've visited the province, the 9 provinces, to meet with the head of provincial treasure. And in the Northwest, we had this discussion around roads in the Northwest. Because now what happened is that the toll road, which is quite expensive, especially for truckers. So most of them have actually run away from that road. They are using a different role, which is not so. That role is accelerating very fast because it's not meant to carry the kind of capacity, especially in terms of drugs, that it's now carrying, because this drug must now avoid the toll gate, especially Dr. Rachen that area there, quite a time. So then all the structures are going to look around and basically get out some of the structures that are going to be in the connective route. So I say to this gentleman, are you aware that if you have that kind of a situation, you cannot actually get the premier to use this piece of legislation to get this through? No cue. They didn't know that they were going to happen. Now, a different scenario, when you go to the Free State, they had a similar problem. And you go to Pumalanga, they had a similar problem. Successfully, they've gotten some roads, particularly national roads. And the premier, the MEC in the Free State asked me a question, and I won't say it up here, asked me a question and said, why is this when the road is a provincial road, there is no money to maintain it. And once it becomes a national road, there is suddenly money to maintain it. Now it goes back to the story that I said. If you have the formula that you apply in a fixed pool, you can do whatever you want. But as long as we have not considered this as a direct function that we can talk about when we talk about the vertical division, provincial road. If we don't talk about provincial road when we discuss the vertical division and what the provinces of possibilities are, we are unlikely to make any difference to that kind of a question. So it's those kinds of things. But now, if I must go back and say, no, let's make a recommendation and say it's too much improved road, but I don't have information about what is the road network in the state. And in the Free State, they don't know what road they're responsible for as a province. I'm unlikely to make anything up in that process. So the reclassification of road is a key. Then the set people that must do that are at the national level. So the national, let me say, the transport sector, because the so-called cooperative government, the transport sector basically has to deal with this issue and expedite the process. Then we will be able to deal with the issues around access roads, and that's what is the case that then. It's an important issue, and as long as we don't have that, the issues around farms. I will tell you a story. I think it must have been in 2001. We had to go and talk to the executive committee, provincial executive council of the Northwest province. The meeting was scheduled for 9 o'clock in a place called Akamela, in Matuken, and we asked the question, how far is it from Matuken? The place is supposed to be about 45 kilometers from Matuken. But just for good measure, somebody wanted us to get an understanding of what they mean when they say they keep no money to deal with this issue. We said that they would take 45 kilometers, so that should take us about 20 minutes or so to actually get there. So we woke up in the morning, I think around about 8 for going to a meeting that starts at 9, so we thought we were going to make it in half an hour. Only to discover that it's in between this place, the shortest distance is 45 kilometers, through some of the farm. Now, these people, these are private farms, so they probably don't allow you to customize their farms unless they actually know that you can customize them. So you have to go around, right around Dillaway, Bill, and Port. Yeah, you fall out, and by the time you get to this 45 kilometer place, it's about 3 hours later. So we got there around about 11, and fortunately we found the premier of Turkey there waiting for us. Tried to apologize, and he said, "No, I knew that. That's how far." I wanted you to see what we mean when we say that we need more resources. So it's this kind of problem. The farm road, who is responsible for this problem? If the farmer maintains it, then he can control who uses it. And so it's those problems that, as long as they're not addressed, it's going to be difficult to maintain the road network. And the financial resource implications are quite massive. The link was to the issue around property management in public work. We actually did not talk about this. There are quite some serious issues that are beginning to be made here because of certain moves that basically say some of these properties must go to the familiar department. The FFC basically now is managing the property. And what we picked up is quite an important link between what happened with this and its implications on local government and the implications ultimately of the property rights act. Because, and then there's obviously the dilapidated infrastructure and what is owed to local government and all those kinds of things. An example, a typical example is the school scenario. Municipalities don't actually, because they also need those resources, they need that money. So they don't have time to say that if we cut off a school, what are the implications? So whatever the inefficiencies were with respect to property management in public work, as we move this to the province and further to the, it becomes a nightmare. And in the division of revenue process, those things are not important for the relationship. And education will be under pressure. And money that is probably meant for infrastructure might actually end up able to be diverted to pay whatever it owes or to pay property rates. Because if you cut off water and electricity to a school, that the potential, where the potential implication for the health sector, it's just a dreadful effect. So these are problems that in the work that we are actually doing now in terms of our submission for the 2009 division of revenue, we will actually be having certain issues to say about that. There is work that is ongoing in the commission around the issue. So I did not talk about it here, not because I don't think that it's important, but it's something that it just strikes you when you look at the implications of how certain decisions that are taken in one city of government and the ripple effect of that are just so hard to contemplate. The school infrastructure again the issue really is about the outcome. Now when I'm saying that we need to prioritize those areas where there is most need and we need to ensure that we put it together, it then becomes about the sustainability. Now I actually agree with you that where there has been no school at all, and you put a school, there is an impact. Now, that is an immediate impact because people now can start sending their children to school. So if it's a poor community, they start getting access to some of these benefits because all these things are here. Your school feeding would have to happen in a school where there is infrastructure. And if it has to be successful, you have to have nice kitchens and you have to have all those things. So you're building it up. Now, what you don't want to do is to just put a food and then leave. Now, what you don't want to do, again, is to say, yeah, there's a community that is in existence, but we don't have electricity, we don't have this, and we don't. So we put all our money into a structure of a school, and then we say we'll build a school. And I'll just say the Department of Education just built schools. And then somebody else will come and put a road, somebody else will come and put this and that, in a very uncoordinated way. It's not going to improve, because ultimately there's access that you want, and then you want outcomes after that. When kids go into school, it's not for the sake of going to school. It's for the sake of improvement or getting a better life out of it all, ultimately. So they go to school, there's a time period where they must get out of school. And when they get out of school, what did they come out with? Now this particular research tries to look at what influences the outcome. Because when you're taking this infrastructure, different type of infrastructure, and looking at the results, well, that's a bad way of looking at it, because you're looking at your pathway, but you're not only looking at matriculation rate or something, you're looking at the performance of South African kids, maybe at grade 3 level, in mathematics, for example, and science. You're looking at the performance of these South African kids against international students from countries, different countries, some like South Africa, some not like South Africa, and trying to get an explanation of why it is that our kids are performing at a lower level than these, even though they probably have far more superior infrastructure than kids from Ghana, for example. Why is it that they would perform at a lower level? So you're trying to find those kinds of answers, and you would find them in school management. Do we have the correct institution, school governing bodies? And for parents to be able to meet, there has to be certain infrastructure within the school system that allows them to be able to do that. So it's all those kinds of things. So it's taking it a step higher. But you say you must prioritize where the need is expressed. Now, where the need is expressed, primarily it's where there is no school. So where there is no school, at least now you know that you need all these things. So when you put up a school, you must ensure that the local municipality is also on board to be able to put the necessary infrastructure so that you're not starting from a position where you say because there are no schools, so there's no access. You're starting from a more informed kind of position about what you need for a successful school. I'm going to leave most of the World Cup questions to you, but let me just look at the other issue. The other issue that I want to address relates to the implementation date for the recommendation. Now, the emphasis recommendations are made for the forthcoming financial year. It basically means that they are meant for that MTF division of revenue process. So what can happen is that if we make a recommendation this year, one does not want to upset the cut. So because you already have recommendations that were made last year for this year's division of revenue, some of them might have made their way into next year. So it's almost like it's a lag implementation. Now, the response basically must come, the response to these recommendations must come in February. The regional federal review will say, government agrees with this, government agrees with that. Now, when they implement it, they might implement it in the outer year of the MTF, they might implement it in the second year, because we work on a 3-year cycle. So you want to maintain a degree of certainty, you don't want to change things drastically or immediately. It's that kind of a process that some of them take 5 years, some of them take even longer. The recommendations around the local government fiscal framework were made in 2002, and I think I made quite a lot of reference to that period. 2002, we made quite a substantial amount of recommendations on local government issues. When we talk today, we're talking about implementing the property rate act and trying to ensure that the property rate act is aligned to the new bill that is on the table now, which is the Municipal Power Expansion, Fiscal Power Expansion Bill, which will have implications for certain pieces of legislation like what the field already, the RSC levies, and the legislation around that. Those things, recommendations were made to us about what should happen with the replacement of RSC levies. So it takes a bit of time to implement such a certain of these recommendations. So one can't say exactly when, but whether or not government accepts, and then when government has accepted, it becomes then the responsibility, I think, of ourselves and together with Parliament to say when is that recommendation going to be implemented, because the recommendations are made for different departments. So, for example, if there are recommendations which have got implications for public works, the committee, parliamentary committee that deals with public works, must then be able to follow up with the department what is actually happening to that. And so on. Let me just leave the World Cup question to Mr. Khalid, and if there are any other questions that I have not responded to, I will respond to that.
On the FIFA World Cup, we look at what the impact will be in terms of second class or second day. In that context, we found that there's no real negative impact being a country to this country. However, there is some macroeconomic negative impact. But we are also saying that we may not necessarily be bad for the economy to think that as a long-term perspective. So having highlighted those negative impacts, look at some examples, he's saying that as long as government ensures that the overall price of tickets does not exceed 2% of GDP, then in the event of major unforeseen shocks, government also has a stabilization option of fiscal policy in supporting monetary policy. So it has tools that it can use to better the negative impact on price tickets. On the current account trade balance, we find it as a negative impact, but it's not necessarily negative because the large proportion of the trade deficit is out of infrastructure investment that is long term benefit for the economy. And to counter that negative impact, we should direct more effort towards export promotion and tourism that would counter some of the effects on the current account. Another effect is high inflation. But the Commission feels that increases in inflation driven by such causes as people work out are just as high increase in interest rates. The only possible negative effect that we highlight that is of a concern is the possible risk of public cost of public finance cost overruns and project delays. That is a real negative effect. The legacy effect. We say that the legacy effect of the World Cup should be properly assessed on costs and should be finding. Our recommendation.
All those things, I wrote the text, but it could be thousands. But if you say that the middle is a thousand, what becomes the recommendation on dealing with those issues? And the report doesn't talk about the fact that inflation will go up, the passing of the consumer, that there's no provision of what then becomes the solution. Because it suggests the way it says that prices will be high. And if you look at construction, what it means when the prices of bricks are high, your average consumer will pay more for that. And what are the effects to the conversations in that sector? Because you are mentioning this, maybe it's like, and the user can be subscribed to there. But it's okay, you don't have to pay. But that's very clear.
So that maybe just to indicate that these are results of the modeling exercise. Because the actual inputs, whether this or all that this modeling exercise shows is that these are the potential after having taken different sectors and looked at then the social accounting metrics and put a different type of scenario, this is what you come out with after feeding certain numbers. Now, what you are saying is that what we are saying is that these are potential areas that we must look at. Now, whether or not this actually transpires to be the actual, at least we have been warned that there's a potential that this thing can happen. Now, this work on the World Cup issue is something that the Minister of Finance should be able to actually look out and if something goes wrong, we must actually know what we should do about this. And I think because this was the first phase and the first round of the implementation of the process, phase two will probably provide us with more concrete results, because now we're looking at what has happened in the first year. And we can then be able to pick up issues and say, now these are the concrete recommendations. This one, for this time, all we're saying is that these are the potential problems that we might actually have. Now, if those transpire to the truth, then at least we knew that we had to make plans about this. Now, with regards to this management of this legacy effect, the warning is prepare for it. Now, do you build capacity within the department, or do you use another vehicle to build, because there will be there other countries that actually have workers that speak with it, have had to deal with these kinds of effects. In Korea, they had to destroy some of the materials that they build, which is money time. So one has to be alert to the threat that we would have to deal with this. Now, I must also, because with respect to this, you raised an issue around this World Cup and the extended public works program, and our small contractors and what we did that they benefit. The results of the modeling exercise basically show that the biggest beneficiary are big capital. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's the way in which people operate, because they've got their own requirements. You don't control what you're doing. But the good thing for the Asian economy, I think, is an indirect result of this. It's not the primary, the secondary effect. What we call an economic externality, positive externality, is that we already have a massive infrastructure investment program that has already been decided upon. So whether or not the World Cup would have to be hosted, there was already that process. Now, the issue then becomes one of saying, how do we manage that in order to ensure that our own expanded public works program does not get substituted as a result of the imperatives for the World Cup, because everybody now wants to be associated with that.
How do you get your own contractors, your own contractors of them, and your employment, potential employment creating businesses that you want to move, as you correctly say, from the second economy? How do you get them to share in that? Now, the driver is, this is a government program. The infrastructure investment program is a government program, and all the government departments must play a central role in that. And whether or not we are actually doing it as a government is a question that must be asked. And what we are saying at the best way is that we must know from some of these programs what exactly is this government has done in terms of employment creation. And this, that information is, has been very hard to come by. I think from the Auditor General's point of view, the fact that the Auditor General is going to be doing performance audit now should encourage departments that are not actually participating in this to actually start participating, because they will be able to see what they've been doing with respect to the type of program. We can't see that now because they are not reporting on that. They've got money. They can report on money. This is the money that was spent on the public works program. But who benefited from it? We don't know, because we don't get that kind of qualitative non-financial information. We try to get departments to do that.
Okay. I was just thinking, maybe if it's not much better for the government to make specifications on the tendering system that we need to abide by these regulations. Because in the end, this small contractor, they end up being the cheap labor. So, if it can be emphasized on the tendering system that these are the specifications that we need. We need to do this one.
What we sometimes see is that we get most of the beneficiaries from this HIV home-based care kind of issue. That's not what we ideally want to see. We want to see real skills, that people being involved in real skill generating projects where they can be able to sustain themselves afterwards. So, but in those hardcore areas, we don't actually get such information.
It must just expect the social committee content to be the one to make follow up from that recommendation. Because I think that once you have made a recommendation, a decision or taken, you must also see to it, because the following year you are going to make another report. So you must be able to make a follow up one question. Because when you look at the issue of the extended public program, actually it is a different from the model we had in mind when we phase out the community public work program. We had a model which was more in line with that of China, create great infrastructure. When you create great infrastructure, it's then that are going to create more employment, have more skills coming. But what came out eventually is something which was watered down. What everyone was doing is expanded. So at the end of the day, you don't know where the center is. What was worse is when the economic was made a department.
But there was nothing on the discuss allocated to you to do that. For example, that is taking around 125 million.
So I mean, it's 127 million and I'm going to finish the
effort. Exactly. So you look at that situation. I think that as you make a recommendation of that, you must set them up so that you for the sake of good governance, so that even the policies which would have are then implemented. Because right now, if someone can come and ask us, we can go and get statistics or talk to which people can educate. But the quantitative aspect of that, how are we going to monitor that? How are we going to ensure that that legacy, I think I was speaking about 2010 legacy, we might have the legacy of a certain public problem. So that when we go by 2010 or to 2009, we must be able that these people have built so much infrastructure to the external, but at the same time they are able to maintain that infrastructure. As I'm commenting now that we must have a budget for operational business. So I think that on the side, really, you must also tighten the way you do things on the side of the commission. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other chairperson, are you really discussing the reviving of the idle town to lift the burden from those?
Well, what we have is that we have a broad project on transport, broader transport. So obviously, rail is part of it. So we're looking at interconnecting the transport system. So it includes it in all of them. That's a big project. But we, in a way, we are trying to play.
So we'll also have to look at giving a presentation on at which point are we going to have road classification in the country to try and address it. I think we'll look at some of this, but we also want to thank you that for giving this kind of which the official will request that it is only that case to public and deal only with those issues. That we can be able to measure the performance of our own practice. In terms of implementation, that when we make recommendations for more focus, specific issues our mandate insurance while on the board. Thank you very much. It's a very information which we like. And we'll try to also recommend that you provide us with some information for each of the things. I don't know what time is this. Yes, the issue of time mark. I don't use the watch when I walk, when I work. I only use my social
life. I don't know what I'm thinking by the. It's another question, but it's a comment, then send a recommendation. You see, in terms of our positive government, I want to come to the issue. We have said by 2009, we have a million jobs. Now, I don't think, it doesn't matter how scattered the funds are, but we would really want to know, you know, and how far, and we want to reach that target. And we really want FSC to dig deeper into this whole thing. And after they come back to us, I wouldn't want us to wait for another year before we get that. I think that's very crucial because it's something we discuss over and over again. For us to do proper oversight, we would want you as well to check whether our policies are in line with, you know, are we disbursing enough funding to do that? if the funds that have been there do exactly what they're supposed to do, because I think when we discuss that and agree on that, we really meant to, they're not just, I mean, it was not just a smoke screen. We have to do that. So we would like you to dig deeper and come back to us in the strategy if there is concern. So that we need to move and see whether we need a review of that or whether, you know, there's some departments that are not doing their job and not doing what they're doing.
Thank you. I think this
data
Before we break for lunch, before we finish our meeting, there's a list of information that we need to reach members. Members, tomorrow we're going to have a strategic session where we will be doing our first plan for the next financial year.
Before we finish,
I'll
do that
too. I thought they were going to join us for lunch. I think we're not hearing enough. But I'm not going to have enough information. We are actually invited to join us for lunch in the dining hall in the new week.
Yeah.
You can show that to me.
Okay,
thank you. So we'll be there in the next few weeks. Yeah, we're going to remember for the same thing. We all, by now, should have a good notice that we're going to start playing tomorrow. We're telling us to prepare ourselves for the next edition here. There will be a draft document presented as you will start tomorrow. But there are slight changes. We are supposed to show you, I think, but now the session is